Man. All right. Guys, I am really, I'm pumped up this morning. Kyle called me last night somewhere around 8 o'clock. He said, you know Braveheart's on. You know Braveheart's on. I didn't know 12 o'clock come twice a day, but I stayed up last night. And I watched Braveheart for about the, 20th time. And I just loved it, and I love freedom. And that's what we're here for, freedom. We've been liberated by Christ. Freedom. That's why we're here. Isn't that something? How many of you guys seen Braveheart? Everybody. It's freedom. Freedom. Then it got me pumped up, and then I didn't sleep for 4 hours. You know, I get up at 4:30, and so I've had a pot of coffee, and I'm ready to go. Kyle and I are going to pray for Karma today. I want you guys to remember to pray for her. You know, the one that they opened her up, she didn't have the tumor. Well, they opened her up, but she still don't have use of her legs. So we're going to pray for her today. The tumor was gone, but they said it would be invasive and stuff like this would happen. But she's really, really discouraged. So I want you guys to lift me and Kyle up as we go pray for her. We're going to anoint her with oil. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill that place in her body. But you guys remember, open up your Bibles. We're going to talk about how the Bible changes us. If you guys haven't been here before, we're in the middle of a study, 40 days in the Word. And we're going to talk today about the Bible. We've been in Philippians all week. Hadn't that been good? I hope you guys have been looking at that Philippians. And the Bible's not like any other book in the world. That's why it's called Holy Bible. That it's set apart. There's a lot of great books in the world. I'm a reader. But this book is unlike any other book. There's this supernatural power to change lives. Why is that? Well, because it's the Word of God. Simply, it's the Word of God. This is not a history book. It's not a book of fairy tales. It is God breathed. It's not just words. It's not just human ideas. The Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. God gave us the universe simply by speaking it into existence. God speaks, it happens. Because of science, we know that there is a beginning to this earth, this time. And we also know that there will be an end to this universe, a definite end. We just don't know why. Some scientists call it the Big Bang Theory. Y'all heard of the Big Bang Theory? I got to tell you, I don't have any problem with the Big Bang Theory. Because whenever you got a big bang, you got a big banger. You got a big banger. Psalm 33:6 says, The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. God is the big banger. He spoke. Behind that bang was the Word of God. I got to tell you, it really takes an enormous amount of faith to believe that something came from nothing. I believe it came from God, that He spoke from the very Word of God. We jump ahead to Jesus. While Jesus was walking on the planet, He spoke life into people. He spoke power into people. Now, we don't have that kind of power like that because we're not God. John 6:63 said this. Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you are my spirit and they are life. They're not just words, they're spirit and they are life. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. The word is living. The word is active. It's alive. It has the ability to cut to the heart of the issue, to point out what we need in our lives. The Word has that. Well, what do we need in our life? What do I need? What do you need? Well, we need change. We all need change, the same thing. Because there's some things that in our life that we just don't want. There's some things in our life that we don't like about it. D.L. Moody said this, quote, "The Bible wasn't given to increase our knowledge. The Bible was given to change our lives," end quote. So this weekend we're going to look at seven ways that God's Word changes our life. And the changes that you want, it'll help you. So how does God's Word change me? Number one, real quick, it recreates my life. It recreates my life. What I mean by that is when my life is falling apart or we're at the end of our rope. And so, you know, we've been at the end of our rope before. God comes in and he recreates it. And this gives me a whole new life. It gives me and you a fresh start. The Bible calls this being born again. What that means is you don't just turn over a new leaf. You get a fresh start. You get a whole new life. James 1:18 says, "He chose to give us birth through the word of truth." Without the word of God, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't be healed. We wouldn't be headed to heaven. You know, we need to know what the word of God says, because God knows everything about you. And he wants you to know about him. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." The word of God is not just print. It's alive. It's enduring. Number two, it eradicates my guilt. It eradicates my guilt. I don't have to go around with guilt and regret in my life. I don't have to walk around with shame in my life. Guys, this is huge. It's huge. I don't have to walk around with that shame, because most people are stuck with memories that they can't seem to get over. Memories of either people who hurt them and they have resentment, or someone that they have hurt and they have guilt. God don't want you walking around with this kind of baggage of resentment and guilt. He wants us to have freedom. 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 The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful to cleanse us. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned. I am in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. Because Jesus took our sins to the cross. Ephesians 5:25-26 says, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." He took our sins to the cross. He done it through the word. When I take the word and I fill my mind with it, it cleanses me. It cleanses me. John 15:3 says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." There is a cleansing power in this book. In this word of God, there is a cleansing power. When I read it, it takes the guilt out of my life by teaching me the truth. Number three, it activates my faith. It activates my faith. This gives me confidence. This gives me confidence. I mean, most people are scared to death of a lot of different things. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid to take risks. We're filled with all kind of fears. And the biggest reason it could be we're filled with all kind of fear, we're not a people of faith. Faith is word activated. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." You ever read a verse in the Bible and think, you know, I can do that. I can do that. Let me tell you what happened. You just had your faith activated. You ever came here and heard maybe a message here from me or one of the other preachers and said, you know, I can do that. Well, what happened there is you just had your faith activated. That's faith activating. Do you know why self-help books can't do that? Because those books aren't alive. This Bible is alive. It has power. It gives confidence. The more I read this book, I find out that it's not about me. The more I read this book, I find out it's not about me, and the more confident I grow in Christ. I can tell you guys, you show me somebody in a funk, I'll show you somebody with their mind on theirself. It's not about you. God's made so many promises. Let the word activate your faith. It will give you confidence. Number four, it stimulates my spiritual growth. Acts 20:32 says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul's leaving Ephesus here, and he says, I'm leaving, and I'm leaving his word with you. You know what inheritance is? Inheritance is something you get for belonging to a family that's rightfully yours. Let's say Warren Buffett was your father. If he dies, let's say he dies. I mean, I hope you don't do that today, especially after I've said that. Let's say Warren Buffett is your father and he dies. What if you never took time to read the will? You know what that's called? Dumb. It's called dumb. Because you wouldn't be getting in on all that was rightfully yours because you didn't even know about it. I want to tell you that when you put your faith and when you put your trust in Christ Jesus, you're not just a believer, you're a belonger. What I mean by that, when you're a belonger, is that you become part of God's family. You belong to his family, and now you get family privileges. You got this spiritual inheritance. And if you spend the rest of your life not knowing what you get, that's called dumb too. It's in the word. It's in the word. God wants to stimulate our growth. And he gives us, give you everything that belongs to you as a member of the family. So you're not just a believer. You're a what? Belonger. We belong to the family. We belong to the family. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 said, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. The purpose of the Bible is to help you live out the purpose that God has for your life. It will give you everything you need for every day of your life. This teaching thing that it gives, teaching, all it is it shows me the path that I am to walk on. Rebuking, God shows me when I get off the path and into a ditch. That's rebuking. Correcting, how do I get back to the path? Training, how do I stay on the path? The Word of God helps me grow. So it's important to be in the Word. Number five, it illuminates my mind. It illuminates my mind. Well, how does God turn this light on? Psalm 119:30 says this, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. It brings light to everyone, of every age, every grade, Colin. He wants to shine that light for you too. It brings it to everyone. He brings it to enlighten our relationships. Truth. You may have even opened up a Bible and thought, you know, I didn't really get anything out of that. I got to tell you guys, sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes it's like it's kind of like dawn. It just comes on you a little bit at a time. Just light slowly. But soak your mind in the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." It turns the light on as we can have direction in our lives like a flashlight. If you look at the Word of God. God's Word gives enough light for the first few steps. Sometimes I wish God would show me the next 20 years of my life. I'd like to know what happened. You know, 13 and a half years ago when we began North Point Church, I can look now and say I'm glad he didn't show me. Because if he'd have told me there'd be 700 people or so up here on Sunday morning, I'd have been scared to death and wouldn't do it. If he'd have told me that we was about to start a satellite church in Rockmart, no way. If he'd have told me he was going to send me to Liberia, no way. If he'd have told me you're going to Cuba in November, I said, man, I don't know about all that. But he shines it just a few steps at a time. God's Word gives us just enough steps. Psalm 119, 18, it's not in your outline, but it's actually your memory verse for this week. You guys remember the memory verse this week? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is your memory verse for this week. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things that's in your law. Psalm 119, 18. Now, we're talking about in our law. We're talking about the whole thing. Old Testament, New Testament, everything. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Number six, it elevates my moods. It elevates my moods. The Bible elevates my moods. How many of you, I'm kind of moody. Are y'all moody? No, I ain't kind of moody. I'm real moody. I got to confess. But if you're moody, some of you need this right now. You need your moods elevated. You're kind of down in the dumps. I got to tell you, as your pastor and somebody loves you, you don't need a coffee break. You need a word break. You need a word break. The Bible was given to us to encourage us. Romans 15:4 says this, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Circle in those words, everything, encouragement, and hope. Everything in Scripture is for our encouragement and hope. I want you to do me a favor. I hope you'll do it. The next time you're discouraged, or the next time you're just out of energy, when you get home, maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but when you get home, instead of turning on the TV, instead of turning on the computer or the iPad, try reading the Bible just a little bit. What I'm asking you to do is listen to Dr. Luke instead of Dr. Phil. Just check it out. I'm telling you, it's going to give you more oomph. Say that with me. I hope you. Oomph. Which sounds like something else, but it'll give you more of that anyway. Why does it give you more oomph? Because the Bible has power. It has power to change your life. TV can tell you how to do it. Computer can tell you how to do it. Your iPad can tell you how to do it. But they got no power. They got no power. And the Bible does. That's why I urge you all the time and tell you all the time to have a daily quiet time. And I'm not going to talk too much about that because we're going to learn more about that in our small groups this week. Psalm 119, 14 says, 114 says, "You're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me." The word of God is meant to renew me. The word of God is meant to encourage you. It is meant to give you hope. And I'm about to tell you something. If you are discouraged, if you are without hope, you ain't in this book. If you are discouraged, and if you are without hope, you ain't in this book. Period. You just ain't in it. When you feel hopeless and discouraged, you got to go to the book. To the book. Number 7. And I love this one. It liberates my potential. Freedom. I like it. I like to be free. Only God knows. Not your husband. Not your wife. Not your parents. Only God knows your full potential. Only God knows what you and I are capable of. But you got to spend time in God's Word to get out of the box that other people have put you in. You got to spend time with Him. Most people in this day and time live for the expectations of others. They live for the approval of others. What will others think of me? If you ain't got the approval of somebody by now, you ain't gonna get it. And furthermore, it don't matter. It just doesn't matter. Your life has been limited by memories of lies that people told you. That you would never amount to anything. That you can't do that. Not worth much. And you believe these lies. Young people, don't believe these lies. God knows what you are capable of. You don't even know what you're capable of. You don't need more intelligence. Just use the intelligence that you got. Don't believe those lies. Don't let them change you. Only God knows the full potential of your life. He has the truth. John 8, 31, 32 says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Freedom. The word of God will liberate you. The word of God will free you. You don't have to worry about what other people think of you. The word of God is freedom. Well, how do I gain these 7 benefits? Real quick. To gain these 7 benefits, we've got to go to the book. Not TV, not the internet, not gaming, not sports, not the arts. It's all in the Word. The Word. We got to learn it. Number one, we got to learn it. We can't do something that we've never learned about. Mark 12, 24 says, Jesus said, "Your trouble is that you don't know the Scripture." Guys, listen, this is very confusing, but what you think is your problem is not your problem. Your problem is your response to the problem. Was that plain? The problem is not your problem. The problem is your response to the problem. Every problem is an opportunity, depending on how you respond to it. You have an opportunity for growth. You have an opportunity for prayer. You have an opportunity to trust God more. The problem is not your circumstances. It's your response. Let me give you a tip. Be careful with your natural reactions. You know what I want to do to somebody that aggravates me at the post office? Man, I want to snatch him across the counter. I want to hit him sometimes, but that wouldn't be a good thing. But that's my natural response because of my sinful nature. So be careful with your first response. Whatever you feel like doing the first time in circumstances, whatever you feel like responding, it's normally not the right thing to do. Ask for God to help you out there. I wanted to defend my opinion this morning with a relative. Because he was wrong. I don't mind if he's wrong. I just don't want him to think I was. And my natural reaction was to defend my stance. But the right thing was to do was to apologize. And tell him my intention was not to offend him. Do you think that was easy? I'm still hurting over it. The second thing that we have to do to gain these benefits is accept it. Accept this word of God as the authority of my life. Accept this word of God as the authority of my life. There are things in this Bible that I don't like. There are things in this Bible that are inconvenient, but I accept it. There's things in this Bible I wish God hadn't said. Like offending your relatives. But he said it. I wished he hadn't have. But I accept it. Because it's the right thing to do. I may not like what God says. I may not agree with it. I may think it's politically incorrect. But I'm still going to accept that it's the right thing to do. Because God's God and I'm not. I'm not setting myself up to think I know better than God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. We got to believe it. We got to accept it. Next, last one. We got to act on it. We got to act on it. John 13:17 says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This was my Facebook status this morning. You don't get blessed for the parts of the Bible you know. You get blessed for the parts you do. You don't get blessed for the parts of the Bible you know. You get blessed for the parts of the Bible you do. Now would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, it makes me uncomfortable sometimes and it's awful inconvenient. But I know you'll be glorified through it all. Lord, I pray that your word goes out. That it changes. And I pray that we heard the very shuffling of your sandaled feet this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.